All right, so good morning, everybody. I'm going to give you our scripture is going to be Ephesians 1:1-14. And we're going to read that here in just a second all together. And I'm glad, before we get started, I'm glad one of these got left up here. Because, and the way God works is really amazing, because the last verse Jennifer used, I took that out of my sermon. I didn't use it, but so it's just cool how God, he just puts everything together. But there's a song, if you don't know, it's a Christian song called Matthew, by Matthew West. It's called Hello, My Name Is. And this is a picture, we'll get into this, but this is a picture, you know, Hello, My Name Is Liar. This is a picture of, you know, what the devil is trying to tell you every day, and how he tries to beat you down. And so I want to give you some encouragement this morning as we look at Ephesians, because he's addressing Christians here. He's not saying, hey, lost world. He's like, hey, you Christians of Ephesus, I have a word for you. And so if you don't mind, there's two reasons for this. But if you would, if you'd stand as we read God's word, and then when we get finished reading the scripture, don't sit down. But Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, to the faithful saints in Christ Jesus at Ephesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ in every spiritual blessing in the heavens, for he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love before him. He predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us with in the beloved. Now, before we go to our next screen, we haven't done this in a long time, but I want to do something real quick. Put your Bibles down, and you have, well, let me get there. You should have a timer. Well, maybe not. Oh, I went too far. That's what happens when you try to take control when somebody else is controlling too. That'll preach right there. Okay, you got 60 seconds. Go greet somebody. Tell them hi. Tell them you love them. Tell them you missed them. Whatever. So you got 60 seconds to greet each other real quick, and then we'll get started. Hey, you two greet each other all the time. You can't do that. I love you. Yeah. I love you. It's good to see you. Now I'll get my hug. I love you. I love you.
I love you too.
All right, we got 15 seconds. I only gave y'all a minute because I know how y'all like to 45-minute visiting. 5, 4, 3, 2. Jay, you better run. All right, time's up. All right, everybody find your seat. It's chaos. It's like children. Go ahead and have a seat. Once you find your seat, go ahead and have it. You take it, have a seat, relax. We haven't done that in a long time, and it's good just to get up, because I was just telling them earlier, I have a bad habit. I come in and I sit down in the front and I get ready to worship and I don't think about it. Well, then I turn around halfway through the service or at the end of service and I see all these people in the back that weren't here when I sat down. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know they were here. So it gives us opportunity to say hi to everybody, because some of us, I won't mention names, but as soon as church is over, we'd like to sneak out the door and not talk to anybody. So I'm going to force you to say hi to somebody this morning. So what we're going to talk about is my identity. And Jennifer did a really good job with our kids, and I'm really excited about this message, because somebody came to me this morning at Sunday school and said they're having some issues, people spreading rumors, saying things that's not true. Oh, I got a perfect message for you then, because We're going to talk about your identity and what that means. So, we're going to look back at that scripture again. And if you didn't get that, if you don't have your Bibles ready, it's Ephesians 1, 1 through 14. And we'll get back to that here in just a second. But when we're looking at our identity, so who do you say you are? Now, I have two volunteers. They have no idea why they're coming up here. But I've got Nathan. Mr. Nathan's going to come up. Come on up. And Lexi, come on up. God works awesome. I texted both of them. I was like, hey, I'm preaching tomorrow. I'll be here. And she showed up. I'm like, hey, come on. Okay. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand there and you stand here. And hold on. I'll be right back. I'm not leaving. Just grabbing something. Okay. So, we'll let ladies go first. She's way better looking than you, I'm sorry. I love you, but... Okay, so, now I don't want deep spiritual answers, church answers. I don't want you to sit here for 20 minutes and think. When you look in the mirror, give me two or three words. When you look in that mirror, you think of two or three words. What do you think? Anything, just when you look in there. What?
Short.
Did you say what? What did you say after that?
I think.
Okay. What else? Short and what else?
I don't know.
Let me check myself. I don't know. hurry. Short and what else? When you.
Cute.
Okay. Take that away. Make sure she's all right this morning. Okay. Now, Mr. Nathan, when you look in the mirror, what do you think? Two, three words.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, forgot his belt this morning.
Okay. Well, nobody would know that, but you just let the cat out of the bag. So, all right, y'all have a seat. Thank y'all. Now everybody knows you don't have a belt on. All right. And now we know that Lexi likes to check herself in the mirror a lot. So, when we look in the mirror, you know, what do you see? Typically, the first thing we address is our physical appearance, right? That's what we see. You look in the mirror, that's me. And we want to make sure, I like what Lexi did, because she was making sure, okay, when we get dressed and we're about to leave the house, we want to make sure we're a holy and presentable offering unto the Lord as we go into Walmart, right? We want to make sure we have everything put together, like we look presentable, that we're not wearing our pajama pants and our house shoes. Well, yeah, we'll talk about that later. At least you're wearing shoes if you go to the store. That kid doesn't wear shoes when I pick her up at the house, though. So when we look at ourselves in the mirror, first of all, we're thinking physical characteristics, right? Because that's just what stands out to us. And so I'll tell you, 99.9% of the time for me, I'm at the bottom of the list as far as it comes being like presentable dressed. I don't look like, don't get me wrong, I don't want to look like I just rolled out of bed and look like a slob. But let me explain to you. So one of the reasons is my full-time job doesn't require me to look nice. Okay, I sell chips. I don't have to wear slacks and a button-down shirt to put out peanuts and crackers. Like that just, I don't need to. I would be angry if I had to. I probably would find a way to quit because I would be so uncomfortable. I was sharing with the guys yesterday at Brotherhood Breakfast. I'll go in some of these stores and work, and it's hot. It's like 95 degrees in there, and I come out sweating, and it's 30 degrees outside. And it's miserable, the change in the climate. So one, my job doesn't require me to... This is dress up for me. So my full-time job doesn't require me to dress nice. I wear shorts and a t-shirt because that's how I'm comfortable. The second is that I'm very hot natured. You know, you almost never see me wearing a coat. Long sleeves, that's a stretch. Long sleeves and pants. You know, Pastor David joked, we were texting back and forth one day, and I said something about, we were talking about something about senator or something, and he said something about me running for office, and he's like, bringing shorts into the Oval Office or something. I'm like, yeah, I would. I would be wearing shorts in the Oval Office. It wouldn't be no pants. And so I said, hashtag no pants would be my campaign slogan. And then I was like, wait, that might not be appropriate. That's I don't mean nothing. I mean just no actual long pants. So, and the next thing, and my brother here, I love Nathan, and he can attest to this, okay? Most of the clothes that look halfway decent on me, they're expensive. Because I'm big, okay? You know, when you're little, you're thinking, man, when I grow up, I want to be big and tall. Well, it's all good until when you have to go and shop at that store. Then it's not so awesome when you have to go shop at the big and tall store. A lot of mine is, it's a combination. I'm big and I'm tall. And so those things aren't cheap. It's not cheap to get a big and tall shirt. You go look at like 4X shirt, it gets expensive. So that's another reason why I don't dress up and wear nice clothes, really. Another reason is because half the time I'll get a nice shirt or something I like to wear, and I'll get a stain on it. And I forget because I'm busy, and then it gets washed, and then it sets in. I'm like, great. And the stain's like right here, just right in your face. So then that ruins that. And so the first thing we look at when we look in that mirror is my physical appearance. You know, that because when you stand up in the mirror in the bathroom in the morning and get ready, that's what you want to make sure you're presentable. You know, you do your hair. I did my hair this morning. Okay, I did have hair last night. Now I don't. I did it. My doing of my hair looks different than your doing of your hair, but I did my hair. I did away with it, rather. So, so our physical appearance is the first thing that we look at. For me, when I look in the mirror, and this is what I see. I see overweight. I see I'm not the best looking guy around. I see I got, when my facial hair grows out, I get some weird facial hair that's kind of awkward. And then I have the hair on my head that's not very impressive either. Like it, I wish it would just not grow. It would be better. And so I see physical characteristics of myself that maybe I necessarily don't like, or maybe people feel judged by those characteristics when you see them. And so, we feel self-conscious about a lot of things because we look at somebody else and think, boy, they look perfect. Well, the fact is they're looking at somebody else and thinking, well, that person's perfect. So we got to move past our identity in our physical looks. And so the next thing in that is we usually have job titles that we're associated with, right? So if I look at myself in the mirror, I'm a chip salesman, or I'm whatever. I'm a chip guy. There's a guy at Stripes in Big Spring. When I order food there, he puts chip guy. He don't even put my name. And so that's how I'm associated. Well, when I look in the mirror also, I see youth pastor. And I'd much rather be associated with that because that doesn't include me getting down on the floor on my hands and knees and putting out chips, you know. And so when I look in the mirror as far as like career titles, you know, what do you see? You see, what do you do for a living? You see teacher, you see doctor, you say, I see this, I see that, I see best chiropractor in Big Spring, not pointing any fingers. what do you see? You know, those titles, that's not your identity, okay? That's part of who you are, but that's not what identifies you, and we'll get to that also. Also, another characteristic that usually identifies you is a name given to you in a family sense, okay? Are you a son? Are you a daughter, your brother, sister, mom, you a grandparent? I don't have time to list all the grandparent names. I'd be here for 3 days. Like, there is like 100 billion different ways to say grandma and grandpa. You probably never heard the one that we use. It's and mom and dad. I think Ava came up with that. So our idea, we were like, you're going to call him this. And she's like, no, that came out of her mouth and that's what it was. I think that's what it is. Just some random thing comes out and okay, that's what you're calling. And so those are titles that we have for each other. Brother, sister, husband, daddy. You know, that's one of the favorite ones for me, especially, you know, with my two little girls. Ava, not as much. She's not as much as the compassionate, like loving type, but especially my little girls. They'd run up and daddy, especially Emmy. When she hasn't seen me all day, she runs up, jumps in my arm, daddy. And she'll just look at me, daddy, daddy. That's all she says. It's awesome. You can call me daddy all day long. That's great. You don't have to say another word. That's all I need. And so, but those don't even show your true identity. You know, your physical appearances don't show your true identity. Your family title, your job descriptions, your job titles, none of those really fully identify who you are. And So we're going to come back to that here in a little bit, but we want to talk about who do they say you are? And I want to specify what I mean by they. I don't mean they as in just your friends or maybe a coworker that you don't like or whatever, you don't get along with. It's deeper than that. What I'm talking about is the they is the lost, okay? Because first of all, I want to remind you, this letter was to Christians, right? So right now I'm speaking to you. If you're a Christian, I'm talking to you, okay? What does the world say of you? If you're a Christian living in the world as a Christian today, trying to live out your faith in your job, in your work, as a grandparent, as a parent, as whatever, as a nurse, as whatever your title, your earthly titles are, if you're trying to work that out in your walk, what do they say you are? The world. What does the world say you are? Well, Jennifer gave you a glimpse of that. The world, or Satan, the ruler of this place that we're living in right now, he calls you whatever your sin is, right? If you're a liar, he calls you a liar. If you're an adulterer, that's what he calls you. And that those pressures mount up on us, and we start feeling that's what we are. We start feeling like, I feel like a liar. I feel like a thief. I feel like an adulterer. I feel like this. I feel like that. I feel. And you just keep, it keeps weighing down on you. Because you're listening to what the world or the lost or the devil in particular is trying to tell you who you are. Because as a Christian, the devil wants to get in your path and be a speed bump on your path to righteousness with the Lord. So he's going to tell you whatever you need to hear to get you deterred and get you off that path. But it's all going to be lies. He's going to try to get you to doubt who you are, doubt your salvation, doubt your relationship with Christ. He's going to get you to doubt your Christian relationships. He's going to have you doubting everything you do. He's going to have you doubting. You're sitting there, you could be reading scripture. He's going to have you doubting that. You could come to church. You're going to be doubting that. So they, the devil, Satan, will tell you all sorts of wonderful lies that make things sound really great. And, oh, yeah, I don't need to listen to God right there because this sounds even better. It's all a lie. So your identity of what you see in a mirror, what you think you are, it's a lie. Who they say you are in the world, that's a lie. And now, I'm not talking about the they that brothers and sisters in Christ, and I say, I see you, like you're awesome. You come and you come to church and I see you praying and I see you reading your Bible. That's a totally different subject. That's not the they we're talking about. The they is the evil forces that we're against, the spiritual battle that we're involved in right now, the darkness that we're battling against, that's the they. What do they say about you? It's all a lie. God identifies us completely different. He sees beyond the physical. He sees beyond our flesh. He sees beyond, boy, he sees beyond our flesh. That we stop right there. He sees beyond that sin. Sometimes we can't look past sin, right? Sometimes we look at somebody else and we know what they did. And we're like, I can't look past that. Maybe you can forgive it, but maybe you can't see past it. You can't see past that sin. You can't see past that identity into the heart and see what God sees. And so this morning, we're going to go back to our scripture and see what God actually says. He says completely different about what we see in ourselves, except if you look in the mirror and you go, oh, I look cute. Well, you know, he thinks that too. So I was expecting something different, but that's awesome. I love that. So if you look in verse 3, it says, first of all, this is one of the words that God describes you, your identity is. And let me preface this by saying, I kind of got into this a little bit in Sunday school. Remember, this letter is to Christians, okay? Actually, let me go back and read Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will. So, Paul, me, on behalf, an ambassador of Jesus, I'm coming writing you this letter on behalf of God, and I have a message for you. To the faithful saints. This is to the faithful saints, to the church. This isn't to the lost ones out there doing Lord knows what. This is to the faithful. This is to the Christians. This is to the believers. Okay? The ones at Ephesus. And he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you look in verse 3, it says, praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Now, let me share something with you this morning. God is not going to bless you if you're not a Christian, okay? That's not going to happen, okay? If you're not living a life that resembles a life like Christ, walking towards that, he's not going to bless you. He's writing to Christians saying, hey, God has blessed you. You are blessed. You are called blessed. Sometimes you might not feel blessed in your situation, but you still are blessed. So, the world may say, well, you're cursed. Or have you heard that's the old saying, well, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. You know, some people think they're just unlucky. Well, if you're a Christian, you don't believe in luck. You believe in God's divine will and his divine plan. And so because of that, we see that God blesses us. He calls us blessed. Because we have repented and accepted Jesus as our Savior, we are blessed. Then if you look down at verse 4, God says something amazing right here. Because sometimes when you look at that mirror, and I know for teenagers this is a huge thing, and it doesn't change a whole lot when we're adults. We just hide it more and we got more stuff going on. We don't feel like... Do you remember back, we have some little ones in here, but think back to when you were like on the playground and you're standing in line waiting to get picked to play soccer or some game. Don't you just want to get picked real bad? Don't you want to get picked first? Who wants to get picked last? If you're picked last, you're like the lame kid that nobody likes. And you know that. You're just sitting there waiting to get picked. Just, okay, I know I'm no good, so somebody's eventually going to have to take me. Usually it ends up like, okay, you last three over here and you three over there. Like, it gets that bad. Like, kids are cold-blooded, so I know. And we want to be picked, right? What is another word for that? Right here in verse 4 it says, for he chose us. God chose you. As a Christian, God, he chose you. He picked you. He chose you before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So we look in that verse. There's two other words that God calls you. He calls you holy. And he calls you blameless as Christians. Because we all understand that we no longer are held in slavery by our sin. We've been forgiven of that. So we're no longer blamed for that. Not saying that we can just continue in sin and not be blamed. No, we need to repent and confess. But we're blameless. So God, he calls us blessed. He calls us chosen. We're chosen for a purpose. He didn't choose you just to come to church and sit on the pew. He didn't say, you know what? I think I'm going to pick you to warm that seat. He doesn't need you to warm that seat. You've been chosen. In verse 5, it says he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself according to his favor and will. Goes right along with chosen. He adopted us before everything. He's like, you're going to be a son. You're going to be a daughter. I'm going to call you my child. And there is nothing more powerful than realizing that you belong to God. That nothing, scripture says nothing can pluck you out of his hand. Nothing. Because of this, you've been adopted. You were pre-scripted, pre-ordained, pre-chosen, whatever you want to put in that blank, to be adopted. It was already determined. You as Christians, as the saints of the church, as the believers, you were predestined and you were adopted. Verse 7, this is one of the two of the most amazing things. This is the gospel right here. These two words. We have redemption, so we're redeemed and forgiven. That's enough. That's all we need. Redemption and forgiveness. We have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Because of God's grace, we get that redemption. And because of his grace, he shed his blood. Because of that grace, we get forgiveness. It's not because we look in the mirror and I see my identity as I deserve forgiveness. I didn't do anything to deserve that. It's because of his grace. His grace calls me loved. His grace calls me chosen. His grace calls me redeemed. His grace, his blood calls me forgiven. Not by what I look like, not by my titles that my kids or my wife call me or that you call me. My title on this bulletin, whatever it calls me on here, that's not me. My identity is in Christ and in Christ alone, period. Those other things are just part of who I am to get to the ultimate goal of sharing the gospel with the people, the lost people of this world that need to hear it. So in him, I'm blessed. I'm loved. I'm blameless, redeemed, and I'm accepted. There's nothing, no greater feeling than feeling acceptance, right? And I know this because when your kids do something, like something good, not something bad. We'll talk about that later. When they do something good and they come to you, "Daddy, I did this." It's exciting, right? And they want to feel accepted because, like, "Dad, I did something good," right? They want to be acknowledged. They want to be accepted. And when you turn to them and you acknowledge that, man, it's the best feeling ever for them. Now, when you've been walking in obedience with God and saying, "God, I'm pouring out everything for you. I don't know what else I can do. I'm doing my best. I need you to show me." He shows us in his word that we're accepted. We've been predestined, preordained, prescripted before everything, before the heavens, before the earth. He already had us picked, chosen. He's like, "I want you on my team. You're going to start on my team." For all you sports fans, we're not going to talk about what happened yesterday because I don't care. It doesn't hurt me or it doesn't matter. But so we won't talk about the Cowboys' loss. Anyways, Pastor Dave would be so mad. So you were picked. You were lined up over here. Guys already. He's like, "I got these right here. They're mine. They're my starters right there. I can count on them to do the job that I've commanded them to do. I can bank on them fulfilling my commands of going out and sharing the gospel and reaching this lost world. I picked them. They are mine. I picked them to be a son and a daughter. Okay, I'm adopting them. They're on my permanent team." And see, and it even goes farther. When you're little and you're playing those games, like, you're just on that team like for the day probably. When God picks you and he says you're chosen, it's forever. He picked you forever. And I'm not talking just here on earth. It's forever. The hard reality is I share with my youth students is one thing. It's funny, and I've talked about this before in a different message, but people are so interested in like the fountain of youth, like living forever, right? Newsflash, we all will live forever. We will. But where are you going to live? That's the question. Did God ordain and pick you beforehand? He did. Because for the will of God is this. He wants all of us to be saved, right? Can y'all agree with that? Scripture says that. He wants every single one of us in this building, in this world, to be saved. But the reality is that the devil is right there picking people off. Not that not God's in control. It's not that he's not in control. It's not that. It's that they're choosing to not acknowledge God and not acknowledge that God's trying to point at them. Say, "Hey, I want you. I want you. I want you. Come to me." And they're like, they're not paying attention. They're like those 3 and 4 year olds when we used to play softball. They're like those little ones who are out there in the field just like playing in the dirt and throwing their hat up in the air and looking at butterflies. That's what they're doing. And God's like, "I can't call you. You're not listening. You're not looking at me. You're not focused on me." The path is over here. And I'm trying to get your attention and you're not listening. You're over there out in left field doing who knows what. Chasing bugs. I want you to come on my team. That is our identity. Our identity in Christ. He has chosen you to do a good work. Now, I don't know what that good work is for you. That's something that you gotta talk to God about. You can't look in the mirror and figure out what that good work is going to be. You can't ask others necessarily what those good works are going to be for you. You need to find that in Christ. And your identity has to come from Christ. Not in what they call you at home, not in what they call you at work, not in what they call you here, but what God calls you. He calls you loved and blessed, forgiven and redeemed. He no more calls you a liar. He no more calls you those things that you're ashamed of. Those things that hide in the dark places that you would never tell anybody. He doesn't call you that anymore. Somebody else that knows you, that knows that darkness might think of you that way, might call you that. But the most important is your identity doesn't come from them. Your identity comes from the renewing, the redemption state of Jesus Christ's blood that washes over you and takes all that away. You have a new identity. You are a new creation. When I got thinking about it, I was thinking about, you know, like, Jesus is an identity thief, you know? Like, he'd get prosecuted for identity theft. My weird mind, I was thinking that. It's like, he stole my identity, but it's fine because I'm better. So I'm grateful he stole my identity because my identity before was, I didn't want it. It was horrible. So he took that and he made it new. Now I wish he could do that to my credit real quick, but that's another story. So he changed my identity. Now where I rest is what matters about what he says I am, not anything else. So, you know, as I told you earlier, I had somebody approach me and say, you know, people are saying stuff at school about me and starting rumors. Well, usually the word rumor, when you hear the word rumor, a rumor, it's usually what? It's a lie. It's not true. Because it's who they think you are. It's who they say you are. Who are they saying that you are? It doesn't matter who they say you are. And I'll tell you this. Even if they are right, even if the things they are saying are right, that doesn't define who you are. That doesn't define your identity in Christ. Now, this morning, if you are not in Christ, if you do not have a relationship with God, if you've just been focusing on, you know, what you say you are or what they say you are, if those two things have been consuming you and you haven't got past those and you haven't come to the realization that God has different words for you and he has different labels for your life, if you haven't gone to that point yet, if you have been just resisting God, Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Don't keep waiting. We think we have all of our lives to do all sorts of things. You know, I look in this room, there's a lot of different ages in this room. I'm not promised to live as old as some of you. And some others in this room aren't promised to live as old as me. And I'll tell you one thing that kind of really hit me. Emmy's not in here, is she? Okay. Emmy said some things that I don't know where they came from. That's another topic. We should address that later. But she said a couple things. Well, one thing she said, she told Livy, and she goes, "Well, you're gonna die when I'm in high school." Wow, I have no idea where that came from. But you know what? We don't know. We don't know what our plan is, what our life's going to look like here. But I encourage you and employ you to, as Paul's writing this letter, say, hey, you Christians, you the ones that are faithful, you that are doing the good work, I want to let you know that you're not what the world calls you, that you're blessed and loved, you're redeemed. But he has a plan for you. You are predestined for a work, for a plan for your life. He didn't call you to be blessed and loved, redeemed, and saved and all these things to do nothing for him. That's not what he did. He called you. He adopted you, say, hey, I have a job and a purpose for you. I want to adopt you as a son or daughter. Come on, let's do some work. So he has purpose for you. That purpose could be 5 years, 10, 20, 30. You could live to 120. I don't know. But she said that, and she said something else about death. And, you know, we don't like death because it hurts. It's okay to mourn when we lose people. But our identity isn't losing our loved ones either. Our identity isn't having our family. Our identity is in Christ and knowing that the fact that if you come into a relationship with Jesus, that you accept the salvation that he offers, the blood that covers and washes you clean, that you get to spend eternity in heaven. Everybody gets to live forever, but where are you going to go? What does God say you are this morning? Do you know? If you don't know what God says about you this morning, I encourage you to submit your life to Christ. Don't wait any longer. You may leave here, and I might not see you next Sunday. We don't know. But I hope and pray that your eternity is where I will meet you again. And I will see you again in heaven. Because you have been predestined and predetermined to spend an eternity with the Father. Because in him is where we get our identity. Not in the world, not in our spouse, our job, our kids, none of that. Those things matter, and they are important to our life. But as far as our identity, what we're called, what we're really called in here, in our heart, that's up to God. And so this morning as our musicians come up, as Brian comes up, if you need to come up and handle some business with God this morning, don't wait. Come up, pray on the altar, whatever you need to do. But the biggest thing is that you're accepted. No matter what you look like, no matter anything, Jesus loves you and you are accepted. And he wants to use you in a way that you can't see right now, but he has it already mapped out for you.